Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. This month, we're focusing on joy. If you have something you'd like to share about the issue of joy or the wonderful circumstance of joy, or if there's something else you'd like to talk about, this is the time. Call now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, when we talk about joy, a lot of people mistake that for happiness.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be happy. Parents talk about, well, what do you want for your kids? Oh, I just want them to be happy. Well, happiness comes and goes. If things are going well, we're happy. If people say they like us, we're happy. If we get a raise at work, we're happy. But if things reverse, if we get demoted at work, we're not very happy. If somebody steals something from us, we're not happy about that. So happiness kind of rises and falls on circumstances, but joy is a constant. Why? Because joy is the fruit of God's grace in our lives. It's the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. And that joy can actually be our strength. And that's what we see in the book of Nehemiah, as the people had gathered after they had built the wall and they had read the words of the law. And as people understood it, they went away joyful because they understood what God was trying to tell them. And they even said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's interesting, Richard and Bob, you know, when you read about the word joy in the New Testament, it's always coupled with suffering. Count it all joy when trials and tribulations come your way. You scratch your head and you think, Lord, what are you saying? I'm to count this joy when trials and tribulations come my way? And what he's saying there is the joy that you have in knowing Christ, the joy that you have as a result of the grace of God in your life will be the very strength that moves you through that trial and tribulation, will be the very thing that enables you to stand firm in truth rather than being tossed around to and fro by the circumstance itself. That's where we get in trouble. We don't stand firm in the Lord. We go with the whims of the world. Whatever way the wind is blowing, that's kind of where we lean. But the joy of the Lord helps us to stand firm in Christ and becomes our very strength through trials and tribulations. I found that interesting. You know, when you read in the New Testament, how it is always coupled with trials and tribulations.
Yeah, that is fascinating, because so many times when the hard times come, we're looking for some way out, and there is no way out, or we're expecting that some skill that I have or some educational bit that I still have is going to get me through this, and it never does. And it's because all those things are subjective. I'm looking for something that will help me feel better, and joy is wholly derived from a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's why it can be strength, because I belong to Him regardless of my circumstance. I belong to Him when I've made the most boneheaded decision in my entire life. I still belong to Him if I'm His child to start with. And joy can lift you up. It doesn't say you're going to be happy, but you have this joy that is the result of the assurance that we have in Jesus. That's an objective truth. It's either true or it's false. If it's false, then there's no joy.
Yeah. We pursue happiness.
Yes.
Here in America, everyone has that right to pursue happiness. Whether you get it or not, that's another story. Mm-hmm. But you can't pursue joy.
No.
That is just the byproduct, the result, the fruit of God's work in your life. It's like we talked about last week, grace and joy go hand in glove, cause and effect. Grace is the cause for joy in our lives. So regardless of our circumstances, and we often judge God's love for us based on our circumstances,
yes,
and that's the wrong thing to do. So regardless of our circumstances, if joy is in our hearts, we know we're in God's favor. And it's there because God put it there. And because it's His joy and He will never leave us nor forsake us, it's always going to be there. Joy is always going to be in our hearts. Sometimes we cover it over by our circumstances. We look and we get depressed, and those emotions sometimes cover over that joy that is deep within us. Sometimes we forget we really are in God's favor, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But when we take a fresh look, that joy just bursts forth and becomes our strength to enable us to move forward with whatever circumstance we're going through in life. We read last week the high priestly prayer of Jesus. John 17 is where that prayer is recorded. And Jesus is saying to His Father in the listening deal of the disciples, they could hear what He's saying. And He's saying they're going to be in trouble. They're going to face all kinds of adversity. And so here's what I want for them. And you would think there would be a whole list. But what He prays for is that the full measure of His joy will be in them. Why? Yes. Because that joy would be the very thing that would enable them to stand up against all opposition. They were arrested. They were persecuted. They were beaten. Some were martyred. That's what faced the disciples. Yet none of that deterred them from their work of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? The joy of the Lord was their strength. And if you're going through tough circumstances right now, God's work of grace has produced joy inside of you. Let that joy be the very thing that powers you through whatever circumstance you're going through. And I guarantee you, at the end, that hope that you have in Christ will be even more real than it's ever been. That assurance that God's love is always there will be deeper. That connection will be tighter. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, as it was for Nehemiah and those Israelites who had returned from exile, had built the wall to protect from opposition. Let this joy of the Lord be the very thing that gives you strength in your day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Well, that's Basic Gospel, everybody. Open lines, 844-322-2742. How has joy become apparent in your life? How does it play out in your day-to-day existence? We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to talk about it with you. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. Plenty of time. Give us a call. 844-322-2742. Beginning and ending with Jesus, the Basic Gospel journey reveals the life-changing truth of the new covenant. What is that? Well, the primary focus is that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, no longer living under a cloud of fear and guilt, because Christ, well, it's a whole new journey in Him, a new life of freedom, a new life of faith and rest. The Basic Gospel Journey is a CD message by Bob Christopher that will encourage you and in your walk with Jesus and the adventure, basically, of a lifetime. Well, it's filled with the riches of His grace and the fullness of His life, and we want you to take advantage of it. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thanks for your donation to reach out to others with this good news of the gospel. Join us, friends. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of the Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and we thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Once again, 844-322-2742. And speaking of joy, guys, we had a really, really nice email from our longtime friend Thomas in Phoenix, and I wanted to share it with you and with our listeners. Thomas Nitz, he says, "Those who truly know me understand that those three letters, J-O-Y, spell out what my heart knows due to the transformation that happened when I became aware of what true salvation is. Celebrate Jesus this year and watch joy flood the heart." And then Thomas quotes 1 Peter 1:8-10. "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully." And Thomas closes by saying, "Is rejoicing with joy really possible? Only when the life of Christ becomes that joy." Merry Christmas to all. That's from our friend Thomas in Phoenix.
Well said. And yes, he really nailed it there at the end. It's the joy of the Lord. It's his joy that's alive, living in us. Why? Because he's alive, living in us. And that's why we can have something that transcends happiness, that transcends all other human emotions, and that's the joy of Christ Jesus. And, you know, Thomas is a good friend of the ministry, and he has given to help support this ministry so that others can know that joy of the Lord. And wanted to give an update to our listeners. We started out this month with a year-end goal of $335,000, and we wanted that to be cash in hand by December 31st. As of today, we have $242,000 yet to go. So we appreciate all those who have stepped up and given generously to this point thus far, but we still have some work to go. And as I appealed to Basic Gospel Nation last week, I'm appealing as well. Let's rally the troops. Let's do everything that we can to meet this remaining $242,000. That is not a big amount of money as far as God is concerned.
No, not at all.
And it just takes a lot of people doing something. And so if this ministry has blessed you, if you have grown in your understanding of the grace of God, if you have come to that place where you know that your sins have been forgiven once and for all, that Christ is alive, living in you, and you're experiencing the joy of the Lord, I'm asking you to give so that others can know that exact same thing, so that they can experience the joy of the Lord in their lives. Let's rally together, Basic Gospel Nation. You individually, go to our website today, make a contribution so that we can finish this year strong and be ready to take advantage of all the opportunities God is going to bring our way in 2017. And what we're kind of getting a taste of thus far, 2017 is going to be a very exciting year. Yeah. As we expand into some other media outlets, not only in radio, but in video. We've just got some exciting things that we're looking forward to in 2017, but we need to hear from you today so that those plans can take place next year.
Absolutely. But again, the website is basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page, basicgospel.net. If we learn to use Twitter as well as Donald Trump, well, we'll be doing pretty good, won't we?
That's right.
We had a good question from Ed in Wixom, Michigan. It says, the new covenant was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:31. Some would say that that was a promise to the nation of Israel and therefore is not to the Gentiles. Please discuss this. Let me know what you think. That's from Ed in Michigan.
Well, that's a great question. And as Jeremiah wrote it, it was to the house of Judah and to the house of Israel. When that prophecy is repeated in the book of Hebrews, it's repeated in exactly the same way it was written by the prophet Jeremiah to the house of Judah, to the house of Israel. So does this apply to Gentiles, Richard? Can we claim to be participants in the new covenant, or is there a whole different thing for us, dispensation for us Gentiles versus the Jews?
The short answer is no. It's all one and the same. It's wonderful that the Bible does provide answers to a question like that, because in the Old Testament, Hosea, in his prophecy, talked about people who are not my people. And God was promising through him that there would be a remnant regardless. And Paul grabbed Hosea's prophecy and in Romans applied that prophecy to everyone, both Jews and Gentiles. The Gentiles are being grafted in. The Jews were chosen from the very beginning to be the carriers of the hope of Messiah, and therefore, since Messiah came through them, they were the first to receive the invitation to become followers of Jesus. But whether it was an early invitation or a late invitation, it's all the same invitation, and Jews and Gentiles alike are included in the new covenant.
Yes, indeed.
There is no old covenant to go back to.
Right.
That's the key point.
Right. And it's interesting, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, one of our signature mm-hmm. passages, that God had made him competent as a minister of the new covenant. And he goes on to describe the reason why, because the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the gospel message is all about bringing life to those who are dead in sin. And that's all of us, both Jew yes. and Gentile. So this new covenant ministry is a ministry of life. It's what the gospel is all about. Yes. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. Some other passages that really kind of button this whole thing up are in the book of Ephesians, where Paul talks about the two becoming one in Christ. Once those who were far off, the Gentiles, have now been brought near, and the two together make up one.
Yes.
So we are now the people of God. And so this new covenant applies to all of us.
Yeah.
So the people of the old covenant, the Jews, we used to give an illustration. Bob George used to give this they'd have to take off the old and put on the new. Us Gentiles, we just had to put on the new.
Yes.
But for both of us, we're putting on the new covenant.
Correct.
That's where we live. That's the covenant that really rules our relationship with God, sets the parameters for what that is. And what that parameter is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
So it's all based on the work of Christ, his finished work and death, burial, and resurrection. We are made participants of that through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
That's how it works. So we're all new covenant believers. And that is such good news. Why? We're all alive together with Christ. We share his life. That's why the Lord's Supper is so moving. Because yes. when Jesus raised the cup at that last Passover supper he had with his disciples, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." That's the very thing that binds us together as believers in Christ. We share in his life. We share in his love. We share in his forgiveness. We share in his righteousness. And as we share in those things together, we become a light as a body of believers into this world of darkness.
Yeah. Well, again, you're tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you've joined us. We can really join us at 844-322-2742. If you'd like to join the conversation, pose a question, or discuss what joy means in your life, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a guy's a question from Paul. He says, "I have a son that was raised a Christian, accepted Christ, was baptized by me, wrote and sang Christian songs, went on mission trips, started to raise his kids as Christians. But now he has gone through a very, very hard time and is now denouncing Christ and is a professing atheist. He believes Deuteronomy says he is going to hell because he has an infirmity. I told him that he's not understanding Deuteronomy. He believes no one is smarter than he is about the Bible and argues about everything in it now. He is mad at God and at me. How do I address this? I can only pray and not talk to him about it, as it would turn him away even more. He is now wanting to raise his kids as atheists and wants us to respect that. How do you respond to that?" That's from Paul.
Well, it's a very interesting question, and certainly there's a lot of stories very similar to that. And folks denounce what they thought they had once believed because something has happened in their lives. And that gets right back to what we were talking about at the beginning, that we judge happiness based on circumstances. We can feel happy. We can feel happy about God. We can feel happy about our relationship with God when we think he's blessing our lives through financial rewards, through health, good health, through status, through all of these things that the world says is successful.
Yeah.
So if those things are happening to us, we're happy and we're going to be okay with God. When life takes a turn, when infirmities set in, and obviously something is going on right there with him, then we're not so happy. And we're not so happy about God. How could he let such a thing happen to good old me? If he really loved me, why would he do such a thing? And you can get caught up into that train of thinking that you just go to the ultimate conclusion and say, God must not exist. Otherwise, if he did, then this wouldn't be happening to me right now. So yeah. He's judging the existence of God, the goodness of God, anything about God on his life situation. And those who do that are going to have a distorted view of God to the point where they try to erase any knowledge that they had of God from their minds and to go on and live as if God did not exist. So that's what's happened to him. How do you change that? Well, you have to get back and say, hey, what's truth? Is your circumstance the standard for truth, the standard for judging whether God exists or whether he doesn't exist? And if you think your circumstance is the standard, then what does that make you? I mean, you're putting yourself in a pretty high, lofty position if you think you're the standard for truth and what goes on in your life is the standard for truth. And how somebody gets to that point of pride and arrogance, it's just part of this world system, isn't it? It's just part of the lie.
Well, I think it's the result of fear. I mean, we do whatever we do, and we try to work hard at things, and then it doesn't work, and now we have to blame somebody. There's a little bit of silver lining behind this cloud, and that is that this guy's son has discovered that his belief system, at least how it worked out in his life, doesn't measure up. And he is rejecting that old belief system. That could be the best news that ever happened to him, because when you get down to nothing, now you're faced with, is it all me, or is there something outside of me that maybe can give me hope? And then maybe he can take the next step. I think his father is wise. Pray for him. Love him. Don't argue with him. I find it ironic that someone who claims that they're now atheist also claims to be an expert in biblical theology and the meaning of everything in the Bible.
Right, right.
You can't have it both ways.
Right.
Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You cannot understand the Bible if the Holy Spirit isn't explaining it to you. So don't call yourself an atheist and an expert in the Bible. This is all indicators. All of these are indicators of the stress that's happening in his brain as he thinks through a belief system that just flat doesn't work. And that could be good news. It could be horrific news. But don't judge him on the basis of when he was baptized and all the neat things he used to do at church. That's not what this Christian life is about. He's discovered that whatever he thought was his relationship with God clearly is not.
It's bankrupt.
It's bankrupt. And, you know, it's a hard row to hoe while you're going through that. But there could be light at the end of this tunnel, and it could be incredible if he's allowed to get through that thought process and meet the real Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the reality, and it's one of the things that Paul did in his ministry. It's one of the things that we do as far as callers when they call in. Mm-hmm. We assume nothing.
Correct.
You know, somebody says they're a Christian, but they may be just giving lip service and have never really come to believe the gospel for what the gospel really is. They may have heard the gospel at one point, but when it went through their legalistic filters, it came out, here's what I'm supposed to be doing for God. So it came out as a works-based system instead of by grace through faith in Jesus. So we want to talk to people and tell them what the gospel really is and then ask the question, is that what you came to believe? And a lot of times when people are struggling like this gentleman is, it's because they have never really come to believe the true gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
And you can drop an email to us at bob@basicgospel.net to pose your question. You know, friends, the basic gospel journey begins and ends with Jesus. In between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, nor are we to live under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ, we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. The Basic Gospel Journey is a CD by Bob Christopher that will encourage you to walk with Jesus and the adventure of a lifetime, filled with the riches of His grace and the fullness of His life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thank you for your donation, to reach out to others with this good news of the gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page. And thank you in advance for your support of The Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.